The following is a lecture entitled Service Attitude, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on December 16th, 2009, in Pune, India.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, service attitude means to give up the mentality of trying to be the enjoyer and to always see that Krishna is the enjoyer. If you're thinking some thought, and we're always thinking some thought, not that we're sometime we're not thinking some thoughts, but you can analyze the thoughts going through your mind. Take a look. What am I thinking about right now? What's in my mind? Is this thought pleasing to Krishna? Is it a lusty thought? Is it an angry thought? Is it greedy? Is it mad? Is it illusioned? Is it envious? Is it? Can analyze your thought. Is this pleasing Krishna or not? You see? If you can discipline your thinking properly, then you always think in a way that is favorable for Krishna consciousness. Then, and you know, as you know in Vedic psychology, thinking, feeling, willing, and acting. If you can train yourself to always think in a way that pleases Krishna, then you'll always feel like doing things that please Krishna. You will always will to do things that are pleasing to Krishna. And you will end up only doing things that are pleasing to Krishna. So it's very important. It is of the utmost necessity. It is absolutely essential that we always learn how to think in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna. If we allow some nonsense thought, you see, then we run great danger. Jayato vishayan pungsang sangatte shubhajayate Sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodo bijayate. Krodat bhavati sang maha, sang mahat smriti vibrama. Smriti bangshat buddhi nasho, buddhi nasho pranashati. while contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. From such attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger. From anger, delusion. From delusion, bewilderment of memory. When memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. And when intelligence is lost, bloop, one falls down into the material pool. So, you cannot pamper your mind. Cannot give your mind any slack to think some bad thoughts. You have to very strictly govern your mind, regulate it. That is yogi, you see. Yajyadatriti shreshtasta, what is that? No, that's not that one. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must simply withdraw it and bring it back into the control of the self. Yeah. How does it go? My ears are so stopped up. Yato, yato, nischalati. You see? Nischalati. That flickering rascal mind, you see. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalamastanam. And the other side, yata dipo devatasto dengate sopamasmita yogino yachatitasya yunjito yogamatmanaha. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. So, this we must cultivate. If your mind is always got regulated like that, but people say, but this is ridiculous. I want to enjoy. I just want my mind freely wander. You see? That what you're proposing, this is draconian. I want to let my mind just do whatever it wants. Well, is that how you raise your child? My dear boy, you don't have to go to school if you don't want. It's not required. You can just play all day. Is that how you raise your child, sir? He can do any damn thing he wants? Will that make your child... Will that put him in a good position for earning a livelihood? And my dear boy, you can just do whatever you want. You don't have to go to school. No. No, they send the child to school. Even though the child is not lying, they send the child to the school. And what is the result? After a while, he loves the school. In the beginning, he doesn't like. I remember when I was a little boy, one day I just didn't want to go to school. I told my mother, "Mother, I'm very sick." It was a lie. She took my word and I wrote me a note and I got out of school for one day. So, yeah. If the child will develop that taste, but he enjoys learning. He comes enlivened and inspired by reading. You see. Even though he didn't want to learn to read in the beginning, now he knows how to read, and now it's very exciting for him to read so many books. So it may seem draconian that I have to keep my mind strictly under discipline 24 hours a day. But it's the same thing like going to school, you know. It's like going to school. Once the mind becomes accustomed to being fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you begin to taste the sweetest nectar. Sweeter than the sweetest honey. as we were reading this morning in the Bhagavatam, the great transcendentalists have been engaged in devotional service since time immemorial with great delight. There's nothing more delightful, more nectarian than Krishna consciousness. Why? Because that is a natural state. We are not artificially imposing anything. We are simply removing all the artificialities which have polluted our consciousness. That's all. We're not trying to force the mind into some artificial position. We simply want to remove all the artificialities which have put the mind in a confused, bewildered state. Bodily consciousness. So, the Bhakti Yoga system is the topmost yoga system. It enables the practitioner to easily advance on the pathway to spiritual perfection. Just through the simple act of eating, one can make progress in spiritual life. One time Prabhupada attended with the disciples some big gathering of swamis, gurus, and yogis in northern India. And they were going on and on and on with Vedanta philosophy, impersonal philosophy. Going on for hours and hours with all this mental speculation, impersonal gibberish. And Prabhupada said, he said, but Prabhupada said, but we will easily achieve spiritual perfection just by taking prasadam. I remember Vishnu Jana Maharaj, he was very merciful and kind devotee. In L.A., he was the temple commander. He was doing the practical running of the temple. So he asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, if somebody just wants to eat, nothing else, is that all right? Can we facilitate that person? Vishnu Jana Maharaj was so merciful, thinking that prasadam would save them. So just let them eat enough prasadam and they would be saved by the prasadam. So Prabhupada said, yes, he can go on eating prasadam all day. As long as he chants Hare Krishna between each bite. So, this Bhakti Yoga system is so nice, you see. Just by eating wonderful prasad, you see, offered to Krishna. By participating in wonderful kirtans and associating with wonderful sadhus. That's what attracted me. Once I was attracted by Vishnu Jana Maharaj's personality. He was so saintly, so blissful. He was really a Paramahamsa. He was situated far, far beyond the material world that was going on all around us in the spring of 1971 in Austin. His heart was with Prabhupada. And he was simply trying to please Prabhupada by pushing forward this movement. So if we can engage our mind in this, how can I increase my Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness on this planet? Actually, those things go together. Because the more you increase your Krishna consciousness, the more you become empowered to distribute Krishna consciousness. And the more you distribute it, because you're constantly absorbed in it when you distribute it, then you naturally increase your Krishna consciousness. So they really, sadhana and preaching actually merge into one ecstatic celebration of transcendental bliss. There's an overlap. It's not like two different, entirely different worlds. Because the more your sadhana becomes first class, you become more empowered for spreading this movement. So it's not wrong to think I have to put a lot of energy into your sadhana, making your sadhana perfect. Not wrong. Because that first class sadhana will make you more and more powerful for spreading this movement. So anyway, I can take some questions now. This is very, I'm very happy to have this open air thing. This is really good. Being a little sick, it's very nice. Have some greenery and sunshine. It feels very healthy here for me. I'm happy to be in this healthy, materially healthy and spiritually super healthy with all the ecstatic Vaishnavas. In a meal, appropriate amount of salt is necessary. Too much salt or too little salt is not so good. Similarly, is it that a little sense gratification is necessary, not too much and not too little? Yes, that's right. It requires a certain amount of sense gratification. And but you have to judge according to your own need, not somebody else's need. One man's food is another man's poison. See, so you have to see from your own experience how much prasadam is favorable to energize you in your service. You know, for example, everyone can experience whether they're energized and enthused in bhakti or not. And if we're not, it means we're overindulging in sense gratification. But if we do go the opposite direction too far, then we'll become weak. We won't have the energy to serve Krishna. So one has to find, every devotee has to find his own balance. Just by sincerely trying to awaken one's Krishna consciousness. Krishna will give us the intelligence. How much prasadam I need, how much rest I need, etc. Okay. Can you please clarify the confusion in the way that left this world? Well, I don't have definite information, but it appears very clear from all the information we've received that he had some spiritual difficulty and feeling that he had let down Srila Prabhupada, he committed suicide in the confluence of the Ganges and the Jamuna. That's what it appears. There was a morning walk in Mayapur where the question was raised, if a sannyasi should fall down, what should he do? And then the example of Chota Hari Das was given. So Vishnujan was there, and then after he heard that, he dropped out of the walk and disappeared. But the devotees clarified it with Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, no, he didn't want anybody actually literally doing that. But it appears that that's what happened. It's a very sad thing, but... But then there's some mention in... if you want to find documented information, the best that I know is that Radharamara Vilas book by Vyasaki Prabhu. He talks about it there. He interviewed different devotees. He has the best explanation that I've seen printed anywhere. But there's some mention in that book that how Vishnujan Maharaj was coming to Prabhupada in his subtle form. Or in a spiritual form, I don't remember which. And singing the kirtan. So, it was considered glorious by Lord Chaitanya when Chota Haridas committed suicide. Although Prabhupada doesn't want us to imitate that. Because we're so fallen that practically we'd all have to commit suicide. Be nobody left in the movement. I mean, what did he do? He asked an old woman for some prasadam. Actually, he didn't do anything wrong. In the program of begging door to door, Prabhupada actually confirms. Because there's some story that that Mirabai wanted to meet with one of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, and he said, no, I don't meet with any women. Prabhupada said, that's not a true story. Because the Goswamis were begging door to door. And if a woman comes to the door, they're going to run away? Mataji, I've come to beg some prasadam. He said, no. Prabhupada confirmed, it's not that the Goswamis refused to ever meet a woman. They had to meet women when they were begging for alms. So actually, it was to teach an example that this extreme lila of Chota Haridas committing suicide because he asked some old lady for some prasadam. Was it Sikhi Mahiri's sister? Yeah, she's one of the greatest devotees, greatest pure devotees. Sikhi Mahiri's sister was one of the special inner circle of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was so exalted, Mataji. And he begged some prasadam or something from him. That's all. So, Prabhupada was of the opinion that he did that, according to what is written in that book, that he committed suicide. He should not have done that. He should have waited in that conversation and for clarification. But that doesn't mean that the preaching that he did that was not glorious. I remember I still kick myself to this day. I had a cassette recording of Vishnu Janaswami and his brother, Rebetananda Swami, singing Gopinath on the bank of the Jamuna. And it was the best rendition I've ever heard of Gopinath in my whole life. I mean, it just would carry your heart away. It was so ecstatic. But then I heard one GBC said, well, we shouldn't listen to the tapes of sannyasis that fell down. So I recorded over it, thinking, well, I got to be dutiful. I kicked myself to this very day for having made that stupid mistake. Because Vishnu Dhanraj was very, very empowered by Krishna and by Prabhupada for attracting people to this movement. And the fact that he had some difficulty. Everyone knows that verse, you see. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated in his determination. So if a great saint has some temporary fall down, it doesn't mean that he's no good. It's just he recovers from that and takes up devotional service once again. Then he's considered great saint in spite of that fall down. How can we engage all the devotees according to their psychological nature, psycho-physical nature, at the same time take care of expanding the movement? Well, guess what? That's how you'll be successful in expanding the movement. It's not these are contradictory concepts. In the long run, that's how the managers will be most successful in managing the movement in such a way that it expands like anything. Is by finding the way to engage everybody according to their propensity. Of course, someone may be thinking, okay, I'm going to go tell my manager, this service is not according to my propensity. That's not right. The manager should think, let me engage the devotees according to their propensity, and the devotees should think, let me do whatever, follow whatever instruction my manager gives me. You see, that's the right move. That's the proper move. Many times, without considering the nature of devotees, services are given as it is a need of the hour. So what should be done in the... Prabhupada always said, do the needful. I know in the book distribution marathons, some devotees didn't have a nature to go out and distribute books all day. They were more inclined to do you know, lectures on the campus, or, you know, different, they were more inclined in different ways. But yet everyone was sent out the Shivat books from, you know, every hour of the day, so that Prabhupada's mercy could flood the earth planet. And Prabhupada was very pleased. When the marathon was over, he quoted that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu mang parta davim pagritam ashritaha bhajantyananya manaso gyantabhutadam avyuyam. Those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. So he was glorifying his disciples. You are Mahatmas. You sacrifice everything to go out and study my books. Therefore, you are Mahatmas. He was glorifying us as Mahatmas. So a Mahatma doesn't think, oh, this is not my propensity. He thinks, propensity or not, who cares? Whatever needs to be done, let me do that. That's how the devotee should think. The managers will try to do their best to engage everyone according to propensity, because in the long run, that's how things can keep going with the most energy. Okay. How to develop regulation. I start to become regulated, but after some time I can't maintain regulation. Yeah, regulation is sattvic. And the rajasic nature rebels against the idea of regulation. You just have to use your intelligence and do it. You may have some discipline, you know, to do something every day. Like every day I'm going to spend, you know, 15 minutes memorizing shlokas. I'm going to squeeze it into my schedule that every day I spend 15 minutes memorizing shlokas. And you're going along, you have a nice routine. For weeks and weeks you go on, but then you get sick, and you break your momentum, and now you're not able to start it up again. You just have to understand that you have to muster your energy and just do it. If you break your regulation, your pattern, your nice sattvic pattern, you just have to, due to some, the interruption, you just have to forcefully engage yourself once again in that regulated way. And then you'll get a taste for it again. You can revive the taste. What is the difference between sense preservation and sense gratification? Well, preservation is what's necessary, and gratification in this context means what's beyond what is necessary. How to develop the faith in service attitude. Try it. Put yourself into a service attitude. All right, I don't have a service attitude. Let's face it. But let me take up that, let me act as if I did have a good service attitude. You know what will happen? See, the soul in its pure state has a wonderful service attitude. Even if it's not manifested, it's covered by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. If you will just act as if you had a good service attitude, like an actor on a stage, you see. If you would just act as if you had a good service attitude, then the natural service attitude will come. Sometimes too much service coming for our sadhana schedule will be incomplete, such as reading, hearing, chanting, etc. In this situation, what is more important? Well, I gave the example recently that it was so wonderful when the first cassettes became available. Every week we had a standing order with the Bhaktivedanta Tate Ministry. Every single morning walk, lecture, etc. of Prabhupada was being, room conversation was being recorded. And every week they would ship us all these tapes. And where's the time to sit down and study these tapes and take the notes? You know, there was no time in the schedule. I said, I just skip lunch every day, that's all. And everybody else was in the Pashadam room enjoying the lunch. I was there enjoying the nectar from Prabhupada, listening to those tapes and taking... I still have the notebooks. If you ever come to Austin, I can show you all the notebooks from my brahmachari life. Many, many notebooks. How to merciful Krishna in the form service or chanting, preaching, what is more important for advancement? Yeah. How to merciful Krishna? There's something incomplete in this sentence. Of course, we only advance by the mercy of Krishna, but you have to put yourself in the state of mind where you can receive that mercy, because the mercy is coming in the form of the service. So we have to be willing to take the mercy. I'm chanting Hare Krishna, begging for service, and then my authority says, would you like to do this service? And we say, no. So what was that chanting? Begging for service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, please engage me in your service. The service comes. No. See the contradiction? Yeah. How to cultivate the mood of always doing service for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna? Well, it's pretty simple. How do you cultivate the mood of always feeding your belly? Because you know, by feeding my belly, the whole body becomes nourished. So an intelligent person knows, just like there's a story during the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was one day, it was very, very hot. And so the devotees, they started fanning Guru Maharaj, and then everybody felt cool. So if we can please the spiritual master, then we become happy. That's the way to really become happy. When the spiritual master is pleased, then we become automatically pleased. One has to know that and remember that and engage oneself according to that understanding, and then you'll actually experience it. And as you experience it, it will become more and more realized by you, and you'll become more and more absorbed in pleasing your guru. What inspires you to give such very precise answers, satisfying our hearts thoroughly? Well, that's a very kind question. I appreciate your kindness on this croaking toad up here. I'm simply trying to take all the love that Prabhupada gave to me and share it with you, that's all. I used to write letters to people sometimes in the material world. But when I became a devotee, and I joined ISKCON, it was still okay to write, for any disciple to write Prabhupada a letter. Shortly after that, they changed the policy. Only temple presidents, GBCs, and sannyasis should write Prabhupada. But when I joined, it was still open. Anyone who wanted to write Prabhupada could write Prabhupada. So I, one time, had a question of Vishnu Jan Maharaj. He didn't know the answer. He said, well, why don't you write Prabhupada? So I got started in this writing Prabhupada. And then they made this policy, no more, you know, letters from rank and file members. Only the big bigs can write Prabhupada. But, you know, what can you do? I was really hooked on writing Prabhupada. Even if I was could get in trouble, I was thinking if they saw my name on the envelope, they would throw the letter away. Oh, here's that Sankarshan Das again trying to get a letter through to Prabhupada. I was thinking they might just trash it, you know. Well, let me try and see if I can get in and get some special mercy from Prabhupada. And then he wrote me a nice letter. He said, actually, one should consult with one's local authority. He encouraged that you not write me directly, but you check with your local authorities. But then he gave me a loophole. He said, But if there is urgent need, I am always happy to hear from my beloved disciples. I had my loophole. Prabhupada's direct permission to write him a letter whenever I had an urgent need. You see? So much love Prabhupada gave, and he was so, you know, how much time he had in his day. He was so busy counseling so many devotees, fighting out with Mr. Nair in Mumbai. I mean, so many things, you know. But still, he was so kind to me, you know. He gave me so much love. Of course, I did that whenever I had the urgent need. But I finally got to a point where I didn't feel that urgent need anymore. And I would consult my temple president. I would consult a sannyasi. I would consult my GBC man. In this way, I got to a point where I didn't write him anymore. But I knew I had that permission. I knew any time I wanted to, I could go directly to Srila Prabhupada with my problem or my confusion, and he would be merciful to me. I knew that. So I just try to share that love that Prabhupada gave to me with you all. That's all. What is the difference between suppression and repression? Well, it depends on how you define them, actually. Because these terms can, if you look up such words in the dictionary, they will have several definitions. You understand? But we could look at it from one particular angle. Suppression and repression. In the context of this meeting, these appear to be synonymous to me. Two different ways of talking about the same thing. Controlling the senses and starving the senses. Well, someone asked about using the example of salt, which was Prabhupada's example. Sense control doesn't mean starving the senses. Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam. It means engage the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses. It doesn't mean starving the senses. Give them what they need, not what they greed. Controlling nature and suppressing one's nature. Yeah, there's a big difference. One, everyone has a certain nature, a certain temperament, a certain mindset. That is not to be denied. But you are to take your particular individuality, which each one of us have our own unique individuality. You're meant to take that individuality. Wake up, wake up, wake up. We like having you here with us. Please stay. We have that individuality. So, controlling it means you take your individuality and engage it in Krishna's service. You don't deny it. That's impersonalism. You take your individual nature and engage it in Krishna's service. Arjuna was encouraged to not curb his kshatriya nature. Control senses appears contradictory. No, you simply engage your nature in Krishna's service. That's all. You don't engage your nature for sense gratification, but you engage your nature in Krishna's service. Vishnu Jan Maharaj used to talk about not stifling somebody. Everyone has a certain enthusiasm to act in certain ways by our natures. The preachers and the managers, they have to be careful not to stifle somebody's enthusiasm. They have to encourage them to use their nature in Krishna's service. So in my own career, I remember, you know, sometimes I would just be engaged so perfectly according to my nature. It was just so sweet, I couldn't believe how much nectar it was. When I was asked by my authority to transfer to our Atlanta temple around the year 1976, I think. And they gave me the service of doing all the lectures for the college lecturing. If a college classroom would come, I would lecture. If there was an invitation to go to the campus, I said, wow, this is really my propensity. What nectar. I mean, I was just swimming in an ocean of bliss. All the college lecturing, I was so happy. But then the next year, they sent me to Houston, and I was made the cook. And I was frustrated because my nature wasn't engaged. It wasn't my nature to be tied to the stove from dawn until, 24 hours a day. I told the other day about that year when I was the cook and the pujari and the receptionist, all rolled into one. And I had to do everything. Every RT I would offer, I had to, every deity, all the backup, washing the deity plates, cooking the deity sweets. The only time I had to read is when I was stirring the burpees. The only time I could read the books when I was stirring the burpees. But that was very good for me, that purification of consciousness. Sometimes when we're asked to do a service which is not according to our nature, we should think, what a great opportunity for me to advance, because guess what? When you're a perfectly self-realized soul, you can do anything for Krishna and be in complete bliss. Because it's not the service itself which is enlivening for the self-realized soul, but it's the attitude of love, you see. How to remember Krishna during the performance of our service. Who am I doing it for? Why am I doing this? It's to please Krishna. Let me do it in such a way that Krishna is pleased. In this way. It is very easy to surrender to spiritual masters. It is very difficult to see our superiors, managers, as his representatives and do whatever they want us to do. How can we develop the mood of surrender? Well, this is one of those things I wrote Prabhupada about. Because it was my nature to study. I wanted to have time to read, study the books. And we were so busy. I was with Vishnu John Maharaj at the time. We had this, it was a wonderful, we had a traveling rock opera, actually. We would do a whole story of how it was a whole rock opera of how a hippie became a devotee, and it was a wonderful rock opera, and Prabhupada saw it and liked it very much. We did it for Prabhupada in Pittsburgh. So it was a very enlivening service, especially for somebody who had a musical background like myself, who had been a performing musician, to actually do it for Krishna and for Prabhupada. It was pretty ecstatic. But still, we were so busy, there was no time for reading. We'd be either rehearsing the drama or we'd go out and, do Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution. Where's the time to read? So one day, I was a little naughty. I took the different subway and I went to Tompkins Square Park. And I went to that tree where Prabhupada started the movement, because I knew that Prabhupada's presence would be there. I went there and I wrote Prabhupada a letter from that tree, under that tree. And I said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to have more time to read. I need to have more time to read. And Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, actually, there's much time in the day for studying. But you have to follow your authorities. He made it very clear that it was my duty to follow my authorities. So, from then on, it was very clear to me that's how I would please Srila Prabhupada, by following my authorities. And I never did that again. Took off, on a little side trip. I never did that again. Of course, I did it to write Prabhupada a letter, so it wasn't so bad. But still, he wasn't right. It caused anxiety for the devotees. What happened to Sankarshan Das Brahmachari? What happened? I just disappeared. It wasn't very nice. It caused anxiety in the devotees' minds. What happened to him? It wasn't very good that I did that. But I took the correction. And Prabhupada made it very clear. He said, if you simply study without practicing, then this knowledge becomes dry and useless. He really made it clear. If you want to do like this, you know, just not follow your authority and in the name of being a pundit, you will lose your taste even read these books. And that's a fact. We will not have a taste for Krishna conscious philosophy unless we're putting it into practice. When we do service to Krishna, it produces some good results. All devotees glorify when I'm doing the same service. Next time, I start expecting some good result in glorification. How to overcome this fruitive mentality? Yeah. We have to be beyond the dualities, you know. That's a fact. We have to go on dutifully executing our duties, faithfully, steadily executing our duties, not depending on the result, but just depending on the fact that I know Krishna wants me to do this. That's a fact. We like to dance in kirtan. How can we know it is spiritual or material? Because it gives us satisfaction. Well, Prabhupada actually sometimes stopped the dancing because it was getting too far out of hand. There's a dance that they did back in the 60s, the Karmis, it was called the Twist. And one godbrother was up there doing the twist, you know, in the middle of the kirtan. It was getting really too out of hand. Like a karmi dance, you know. Prabhupada actually taught us in the beginning to dance with, you know, two hands in the air, the Swami step, you know, one foot crossing the foot over the other one, the Swami step, you know. In the early days, that's how everyone danced, the Swami step. But then in L.A., Prabhupada started jumping up and down. And then everyone after that started jumping up and down. And Prabhupada jumped, the whole movement jumped. So then it became cool to be a little more, you know, spontaneous in your expression. But at the same time, that the more structured type of dancing is still there, that Swami step. So where do you draw the line? Is it going too far? You have to take feedback from the devotees who are there, because it's according to time, place, and circumstance. There's no hard and fast rule, you know, some strict codes, written laws of dancing laws, the dancing laws of ISKCON. You have to. That's why we have authorities. If things are getting too out of hand, then they'll let us know. But actually, we should be ecstatic in kirtan. I am serving the deity regularly, but I'm not able to completely take shelter of the deity. Why not? Who says you can't? You're thinking you cannot, but actually you are capable of doing it. You just have to beg the deity to help you, that's all. My dear Lord, I want to take complete shelter of you. Please bless me that I can do so. That's all you have to do. You see, the Bhajari has a very special position because he's doing direct personal service to the deity, so he can ask some boon. So you should never pray for anything material, but you should always beg for boons. When you're doing all that service, you say, my dear Lord, I bless you. You please give me, you know, enthusiasm to serve you unlimitedly, or Please bless me that I can take complete shelter of you in this way. You should, the Bhajaris who are doing all this personal service, they should beg for special blessings from the deity, and the deity will reciprocate with them. That's a fact. You've served me so nicely. What are you asking? All right, here, take it. How to render devotional service in brahmachari life nicely? He doesn't say brahmachari, he says bachari. B apostrophe chari. That's cool. Bachari life. Bachari. That's cool. I like that abbreviation. Bachari. How to render service in brahmachari life nicely. You have to think that Krishna has blessed me with the most amazing, wonderful opportunity to directly serve him. After countless eons of my being lost in the cycle of birth and death, now I am getting the opportunity to render direct service to the Lord. How wonderful this is. You have to have a wonderful attitude, and then your service will naturally become the highest altitude. There's a little saying in this connection. It is attitude, not aptitude, that determines your altitude. So, just have a nice attitude. And even if you're not the greatest expert at doing anything, if your attitude is very nice, then your service will become very nice, because you have the mood, the right mood. It is commonly observed that people join ISKCON with complete hope of removing anartas. Almost everyone gets stuck up at this stage. What is the reason that the devotee is not able to go further? What action do you suggest to that devotee to perform to search the pure devotional service? Yes. But we can study the modes of nature. Happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison at the end. So people who come to Krishna consciousness, and this is practically all of us, with great enthusiasm, it's something new. Wow, I get to be a monk. I get to be liberated from all these horrible entanglements. It's so wonderful. Prasadam and kirtan, and you know, it's a whole new thing. Very exciting thing in the beginning. But then after a while it becomes so-so. It's just the daily routine. Well, now I'm a monk in an ashram, and it's just the same old thing, week after week, year after year, blah, 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 blah. Familiarity breeds contempt. You're being overly familiar with the process of Krishna consciousness. In other words, your enthusiasm is rajasic. The way to avoid this fall down is it's natural we're going to be rajasic, because we come out of rajasic mode. You have to start with rajasic mode. But we have to cultivate sattvaguna along with that rajaguna, you see. Because sattvaguna is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. And shuddha sattva is nectar in the beginning and nectar in the end. So we have to go deep into become deeply absorbed in the holy name. We have to deeply absorb ourselves in hearing from reading the books, from hearing the lectures. We have to learn how to deeply absorb our consciousness in these things. This is sattvic, you see. Because that's how the anartas actually are removed. It's a meditational trance, actually. You go deep into the rasa, bhakti rasa. Some people would say, what does it mean to be absorbed? It's a simple example. We've all gone to see movies, right? You ever got totally absorbed in a movie? The movie was over and you forgot you were in Pune? It's like, wow. Oh, yeah, here I am. You can get so absorbed in the movie that you know, the whole world seems to become that movie. So in that way, you get absorbed in a cinema. You have to get very much absorbed in this process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Deeply absorbed in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And then everything else will pale into insignificance. That's how you do it. Cultivate that sattvic deep absorption in transcendental meditation 24/7. It is a good thing to stand up while chanting if you feel sleepy. Yes. If you don't have to, it's all right. Maybe you can just rock a little bit. Or maybe you can, you know, something. You don't have to stand up. If you can wake yourself in other ways, that's okay. But if you need to, you should stand up. Not that you fall out. Some devotees say you should sit in japa no matter what happens. But then we continue sleeping. Is that some official rule here in this ashram? I'm just curious. Oh, okay. I didn't want to contradict the managers, you know. I know, some temples, they used to have a little water gun, you know, in the Bhagavatam class. Somebody's nodding out. Shh. So maybe the head, the bhakta leader could have a little water gun. Somebody's nodding on their japa. No, there's nothing wrong with standing up. What is the proof? Prabhupada, have you seen that video of Prabhupada in his quarters in L.A.? He's walking back, not only standing, but he's pacing back and forth in his quarters. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pacing. So even if you have to pace, that's all right. Prabhupada paced, so we can also pace. He's showing by example that we can pace. Okay, well, it looks like we've run out of questions, so that's good. That you've come up with so many wonderful questions. We did need to come to an end, so I can take care of other duties that I have for getting my daily internet meditation, thought for the day, uploaded, written and uploaded. That has to be done now. So we thank you very, very much for your so kindly giving your life in the service of Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's wonderful, wonderful servants. Please continue in this way. And if you do so, very, very soon you will see Krishna face to face. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON ki jai.
Jai.
ISKCON Pune devotees ki jai.
Jai.